Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to be with you here this Friday afternoon. We got a big show ahead for you. We're actually going to be joined by Palm Beach Pete in this first hour, but I want to begin today with a major announcement posted by Nick Sortor, clip 30. Secretary Rubio just brokered a framework agreement for peace between Israel and Lebanon. Let's take a look at that now.
God bless Israel. May God bless Lebanon. May God bless the United States of America and all those who pursue peace. Thank you.
So this is the signing between Lebanon and Israel and the United States as they have the framework to a potential agreement. We'll see where this goes and if it, they actually make anything of it. Israel-Lebanon signed framework deal for slight IDF withdrawal after 4 days of talks in D.C. A lot of people in Lebanon are not happy about this, claiming that essentially Lebanon's been sold out, but we'll bring you all the updates you need on the latest in the negotiations, of course, in Iran. There's been a bit of a kerfuffle, you might say, with the Iranian regime threatening ships and, in fact, firing on ships in the Strait of Hormuz. We can go to clip number 6 here. This was posted late in the evening yesterday by the Iran News. Let's watch. You know, the interesting thing, you don't even need to know what he's saying. Look at his face. He's trying very hard to hide a smirk here. He's trying very hard not to grin as he's announcing the fact that they are not beaten down, they are not incapable of defending the strait, and that the Strait of Hormuz will be in their hands for the foreseeable future. And that, of course, was what was behind the action yesterday. Perhaps a reminder to Donald Trump that the Strait of Hormuz is still very firmly in their control with no sign of that changing anytime soon. We're also going to be talking about, and actually, guys, if the crew wants to try to grab some more videos, Donald Trump was live just before our show began, going very strongly against communism, which is good to see. It's very good to see that he recognizes that the DSA, the so-called Democratic Socialists of America, are not, in fact, democratic or socialist, but are just straight up communists in disguise. Mamdani is fulfilling that label with his actions with the seizure of major real estate in New York. And we'll explain exactly how this works. We'll go over exactly what the steps are that they're putting in place, because it's really not that complicated. They're essentially stopping landlords from raising prices. They want to rent control everything, but they're doing nothing to stop the costs of the landlord from going up. So all you're going to have is a bunch of landlords going into default because they can't pay their bills because they can't raise the rates on people. And once they go into default, or once they stop being able to supply the upkeep that they typically would for their buildings, then they have already in place the mechanism by which the New York City Council can seize the building and hand it off literally to an NGO that they control. So this has started, and if you don't interrupt it, this is going to be the process. They're going to freeze out landlords from improving their buildings, claim that the buildings aren't being improved upon, so therefore we have to seize it. They seize it, they hand it off to their, literally like a socialist co-op that they operate. So the communist takeover is on at this point, and we've been warning you for a while now, and we'll continue to warn you, that they are literally planning a communist takeover on May 1st, 2028. We know the date they're planning on, and all of this is in preparation for that. So we'll talk about what the Democrats are doing to facilitate this takeover, even though some of them do seem to be recognizing the threat that communism poses, and a large faction of Democrats have broken away and signed the America First Pledge. We'll get into all of that and more. But first, we'll be joined by Palm Beach Pete. He joins me on the other side. Stay with us. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a big episode of War Room Live. Share the link, alexjoneslive.com. Follow us on X. I'm at Harrison H. Smith, and we'll be right back.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. alexjoneslive.com is the new site to find the next step in the info war. articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL to share. That, of course, has all of the articles, all the video, all the live streams, and more. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Palm Beach Pete. At least that's the name he goes by online. His real name, Peter Bart Simmel, a retired commercial real estate executive, former Division I tennis player, and social media influencer from Florida. He gained massive viral fame in early 2026 after a video of him driving a convertible on I-95 in South Florida was posted online. Strangers thought he was Jeffrey Epstein back from the dead, sparking conspiracy theories due to his striking physical similarity to the late financier. You, of course, quickly addressed the rumors and clarified that you are not Jeffrey Epstein. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Harrison. I'm definitely not Jeffrey Epstein. I'm just Peter Simmel, retired, living my life, and Palm Beach Pete.
Likely story, Pete. Likely. Here's my question. How do we know? How do we know that you're not? Because part of me just completely believes you. I'm all for it. You know, obviously, you don't seem like Jeffrey Epstein. But the other part of me is like, would that not be exactly the type of thing Jeffrey Epstein would do? Would he not revel in the fact that he could come out? So what proof have you offered to dissuade people who believe that you are, in fact, Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, I don't think someone would be that brazen or blatant to be parading around being on social media like I am and be Epstein. So, I mean, the authorities would apprehend him immediately. So that's one thing that wouldn't work. And secondly, I know who I am. I know where I was born. I'm different age than him, different height than him. We took a lie detector test. That went fine. We have a DNA test right now. We're waiting for the results of that. And that's what's going on.
Well, and so was this sort of the first time that you had any like media presence? Obviously, it was the first time I saw you, you know, the classic video of you driving the car.
Right.
It looked a lot like Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, what was your life up to that point?
I was a retired real estate executive. I had moved down to Palm Beach about 2 years ago from New York City. Had a great condo on the ocean, playing a lot of tennis, going out, socializing. Honestly, I was a little bit bored, and this kind of fell into my lap, and it became a third career for me, and I'm having a blast with it. And how many guys my age get to hang out with the coolest influencers, make really fun content, get greeted warmly, and monetize off of it, and have a blast? It's fantastic, Harrison.
Well, and potentially get some political power, too. You're running for mayor of Palm Beach, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I'm running in platform for 2028. I have a very fun, unique platform. It's all about living a better life, a healthier life in Palm Beach, because that's why people move down there. And we have free Botox for the residents of the island, free dog walking services, free use of a convertible, a trainer so you can live longer, pay taxes longer, free mother-in-law service counseling.
What?
All these fun things.
Well, how are you gonna pay for all this? Sounds like socialism to me.
It's not socialism. It's just making a better life. We have some ideas that we could get the pharmaceutical companies to offer Botox, and then people will pay for it later down the road. So that's an example. And I'm self-funding this, and It's really a fun thing. It's so early right now in the campaign. You know, you don't have to declare until 2027. So those are some of the ideas that we're putting out there to the people.
So why start off so low? Why not shoot for the stars? Why not be running for Congress or Senate or governorship? It's a pretty competitive race there in Florida. Are you running as in a party for a party
independent
ticket? Independent.
Independent,
okay.
Harrison. Yeah. I wanted to start and put my feet in the water and see how I would do as a mayor and see what happens.
Well,
I don't really want to travel that much. So being in my hometown would make perfect sense.
So I was going to, you know, being from Palm Beach, I assumed that you had run into Jeffrey Epstein, but if you only moved there 2 years ago, you know, that was too late to start a friendship, I guess. Being in New York, so you came from New York 2 years ago. What is your take on the path New York is taking? That's going to be a big part of our coverage today about Mamdani freezing rent for 1 million renters after Mamdani packs rent guideline boards.
I heard your little segment on that.
Yeah.
The real estate industry is the most powerful industry in this city and in this state. And there are so many lobbyists and so many well-to-do, smart landlords. They will not lose the buildings. The owners that have marginal buildings and only getting by, they might be in some trouble. But the major landlords and the big families that have fourth generation ownership of buildings, that's not going to happen.
So what is going to be the effect? I mean, well, first of all, what's your experience? I mentioned it in your bio here, but all it says is that you worked in commercial real estate. What is your experience in real estate in New York? Were you in New York City? And, you know, what effect is this going to have?
I was a commercial leasing broker for the largest firm in the world called CBRE, and I leased office space to hedge fund, private equity funds, law firms, and creative firms. So I dealt with the big landlords on the commercial side. So I think New York is always going to be New York. The buildings aren't going to go to these socialist co-ops and run. It's a long process. It's not going to happen overnight.
It sounds like it's being put into place, though. I mean, well, what is the effect going to be? I mean, when you have the government coming in and freezing rent, I mean, what effect is that going to have? Am I not correct that that's going to make it harder for landlords to, you know, keep up with their bills if they can't raise rates?
Freezing rents is kind of a dramatic term. They still get bumps. They're just not going to get as big as bumps in the increases of the rents they experience. And you can't turn an apartment over from rent control to rent stabilize and put it onto the open market like that. The landlords are very savvy and they know what they're doing.
So what's going to happen?
I think it's going to be status quo for the time being.
It's not going to make a difference, but it is starting the process.
I don't think, personally, what has occurred? Do you know anything that's occurred? Has any buildings gone to any of these co-ops?
No,
They're running by. None has, because it would have been all over the papers.
Right. Well, the program would have just gotten started, so it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
but
well, you're sensationalizing it. Nothing has happened, and they're talking a lot. And honestly, the landlords will hold on to their building.
Okay, so you're saying the law is not going to go into effect? Like, well, what do you mean? I mean, this
it's not a law. It's not a law. Landlords are allowed to increase their rents X amount by the rent stabilization laws, X percent a year, and they have to negotiate that. So they won't be able to get a big bump. That's what's going to happen. And they're not going to lose their buildings. They'll be able to cover their buildings and their operating costs.
Well, they are talking about seizing buildings. I mean, that is, you know, one of the plans they have.
As in Mamdani?
Right.
Well, let them talk about it, but they haven't done it yet. Have they, Harrison?
Are we only allowed to talk about it once it happens?
No, but I'm saying, has that happened? That's all I'm saying.
I don't believe it has. I mean, he's only been mayor for a couple months, but they've obviously hit the ground running.
Yeah, let him try.
Okay.
I have a phone. Sorry, something's going on with my phone. Sorry, Harrison.
So the story from Postmillennial, the Rent Guidelines Board with 6 to 9 members appointed by socialist Zoran Mamdani met on June 25th and decided there would be absolutely no rent increases for rent stabilized apartments in New York City. Ahead of the vote, one landlord resigned from the board. Only one member voted no. So the rent freeze passed 7-1. You know, obviously, Mamdani is not going to be satisfied with some, you know, minor change to the way things operate. I mean, he's clearly wanting to reshape the way that real estate is handled in New York City. You just think he's going to not be able to do it because of the power of the real estate establishment?
I think it's going to get held up in the courts. He's going to try to have no increases. I don't think the landlords are going to lose the buildings because they're not getting a 3% increase or a 6% increase. I think landlords will be just fine. And they'll figure it out.
Then why did the law need to be passed?
What's the law say? It's not a law.
Right.
It's a guideline. It's a big difference.
Okay, so it's not going to have an effect. So what is your?
That's my opinion. My opinion, Harrison.
So what is your take on everything else that's happened in New York with the elections this week being swept by the socialists?
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff. I didn't follow the elections that closely, but they sure had a landslide, and the Democrats and Republicans, they're not in favor right now.
Well, and what do you think the effect is that of that is going to be? Because again, if this bill, whatever
well,
like it is,
like I said, I didn't follow the other candidates' platforms, so maybe you can enlighten me.
Well, they're all socialists. So what do you think the outcome?
What are they saying?
What do you think the outcome of a bunch of socialists being elected?
What are they asking for?
Well, things like seizing buildings for landlords that they don't like, things like that.
Harrison, you just can't seize a building. That's a very strong word. They can't seize a building. There's a process. There's courts. The landlords are strong. So, like, stop that nonsense. It's just nonsense when you say seize a building.
Well, what other word would you use? I mean, they're talking about seizing buildings.
They can't seize a building.
What do you mean?
Talking about seizing buildings.
Yes, they are.
Where does it say they're going to seize buildings? They're trying to stop the increases of the rents. They didn't say they're seizing buildings. That's ridiculous.
No,
seriously.
Yeah, no, it's a separate policy, but they absolutely are, guys. I don't know if y'all have that story that we gathered for it.
We have a difference of opinion there. You're using strong words of seizing buildings. That happens.
What else would you call it? I mean, yeah, there will be a process it goes through, but
it's
the process.
They're putting a rent freeze on rents. Big difference between rent freezing and seizing buildings.
So these are these are two different things. I'm saying they're going to work in tandem, but they already have a process in place so that they can seize buildings that landlords are not keeping up to snuff.
Can we move on to another subject, because we don't agree, and obviously you're not really in the know of real estate, and
I know
using the word seize does not happen.
That's why I'm asking you. Mamdani's plan to seize property, explain.
Well, I told you my opinion. It's not going to happen, okay?
Okay,
so
I'm asking why.
What else do you want to talk about? I said there's going to be rent freezings, and then you said they're going to be seizing. So we're on two different opinions here.
It's not my opinion. I'm asking you what you think is going to happen, because you
and I just told you what's going to happen. The worst case scenario, in my opinion, is they won't be able to raise rents and the buildings will not be seized. Period. End of story.
Okay, so it's just not going to happen then.
Yep.
All right. Well, what else you got for us? Well, what are your plans for Palm Beach? How about this? Do you think Jeffrey Epstein is dead?
I clearly think he's dead.
That's suspicious. Why do you think he's dead?
Well, there was an autopsy. They had him on a gurney leaving the jail. I think he was probably at wit's end that he couldn't live his life anymore. And he put his estate and affairs in order while he was in jail. And he killed himself. Well, I'm not him, so where is he then?
That's a great question. I guess that would be the next question. Where do you think he would go?
I have no clue. I think he went 6 feet under, honestly.
So you think he killed himself? Did you know much about Epstein before people started saying you looked like him? Had you looked into his case or anything?
Yeah, I read a lot of articles. There was a great expose in Vanity Fair about him. Then the bio about the documentary about him. And, I heard a lot about him. I had a friend that knew him pretty well. So,
oh, you did?
He was a mysterious financier, yeah.
How'd your friend know him well?
I'd rather not comment about it.
Wow. You brought it up. How well did he know him? You don't have to name him or anything.
It was not a him.
Mm. So, you know, you're there in Palm Beach. That's where Jeffrey Epstein was. Do people talk about it around there? And, you know, the people that did know him, I mean, what do they say about him?
Well, I don't know anyone down in Palm Beach that knew him, but he's always in the news. And this whole thing isn't going away, in my opinion, until all the files are released and we have all the information between all the people that he conspired with.
Well, it doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon.
No, they're sure taking their sweet time about it.
Well, and
that's why people are so interested about him, because all the facts aren't out yet and all the emails aren't out and the Department of Justice hasn't released all the files. So there's always that big question mark hanging over that situation.
And the ones that they have released have only really inspired more questions. Obviously, Leon Black is being questioned by Congress earlier today. Judge orders DOJ to either unredact more Epstein files or explain why they must stay blacked out. So this is kind of my thing, is clearly our establishment is comfortable breaking the law in order to cover up some of Jeffrey Epstein's activities. The law says they had to release all of these files in an unredacted fashion. They've not done that. So, I mean, does that make you suspicious of any of the official story about his death or, you know, the way it all went down?
I don't think it has to do with the death. I think it's more, Harrison, to protect the people who are in high power, but not about the death. They must be happy that he's dead.
Do you think they killed him?
No, I think he killed himself.
Hmm. Is there anything about the Jeffrey Epstein official story you don't trust?
No, I think it's pretty, in my opinion, what's out there. He killed himself. He did terrible things. Maybe there are more victims that didn't come forward, but what I read and what I see in the press is pretty accurate portrayal of what occurred.
Yeah, kind of. So why do you think he, was given such a sweetheart deal? It was in Palm Beach, right? And I don't know if it was local Palm Beach. I believe it was a federal case, because it was what's his name? I'm blanking on his name right now.
I know the guy that was a secretary of something, and then he had to resign, and he was the guy that made the deal. Listen, he had high powered lawyers that negotiated this deal for him. He had an incredible sweetheart deal. It was a work release program. He never spent night in jail. He was so brazen and so above the law in his mind that he was stupid enough to get on a private jet and fly back from Paris to Teterboro Airport. And he got apprehended, put in Manhattan Correctional Facility. And I think he thought that was the end of it for him. And he hung himself in jail.
With toilet paper?
No, it was a sheet.
A paper sheet? So this is, you know, not to go back, but I don't understand this stuff. So if you understand it better, that, you know, this is why I need it explained. In addition to the usual pablum that Zoran Mamdani's plan will finally make the city more, quote unquote, affordable and fair by, quote, taxing the rich and building more housing, Zoran proudly announced the central component of his plan to target bad landlords for seizure of their property and, crucially, to transfer ownership of those properties to politically aligned cadres like tenant cooperatives and nonprofits, an effort backed by the mayor's new taxpayer-funded $53 million.
That's okay. Those slumlords need to be have their buildings run correctly. And if they can't do it, then the city should take over and run it properly. But the big major landlords and the multifamily landlords who run real buildings and give services to their tenants, they're not going to lose their buildings. It's these slumlords that don't give heat in the winter and they gouge their tenants. They don't deserve to be landlords. And I have no problem with him making housing more affordable for the people in New York City. If you can't run your building right, then you have a chance of losing your building. There are horrific landlords out there, and they try to force their tenants out so they could jack up the rents, and they harass them. That's not right.
Well, aren't there laws forbidding that already?
They've been getting away with it for years. I mean, they have so many inspectors, and, you know, it gets held up in court. And while that's all going on, these people move out of the buildings and the rents go up. We're talking about landlords that are on the cusp. They're not running good buildings.
Yeah,
and they don't care about their tenants. There are some fantastic landlords in the city, old generation families, the Rudins, the Fishers. They're great landlords. They run great buildings.
So how are they feeling about Mamdani's proposal? Because obviously, you know, this is one. The, you know, rent freeze is another.
I'm not in the real estate game anymore, but I would imagine the real estate industry, they're not fans of Mamdani. And what he did to Ken Griffin and shot that video in front of his building where he lived, it was for the luxury tax, and it backfired. Ken Griffin was going to build a 1 million square foot building for his Citadel Capital, New York City. And he decided he's not going to do that. And he's changed his plan. He's moving them all down to Miami. So it was a stupid move by Mamdani. Really bad move. And, you know, he's kind of like biting the hand that feeds New York, because they're the most powerful organization and they pay the biggest amount of taxes. So it's just, I don't understand his thinking, quite frankly, Harrison.
Right. So this is why it's interesting to me. It's like, it's clearly going to have an effect. It's going to have really probably a feedback loop effect where, yeah, you're going to get landlords no longer building buildings that they were going to build otherwise. Where does this go from here? That's why I'm kind of confused, you know, that it's just like, well, this is nothing. It's like, clearly it is having an impact.
There's always blips in a row. Who knows where he's going to be in 4 years, but I got to be frank with you. New York City is the center of the world. Every major business has a presence here. Every young graduate that comes to New York, the best talent comes to New York. So New York is always going to thrive. So I'm not worried about New York City. It's the landlords that run really bad buildings and don't put money back into the buildings. Those are the ones that are going to be in problem. But the strong landlords, they'll be fine. They'll be worried, and they don't like Mamdani, his politics, but they're strong enough and they're smart enough to figure it out.
But as mayor of Palm Beach, you would not be trying to freeze anybody's rent or anything like that.
No. I'm open for a free economy.
All right. So in the last minute we have here, I mean, what, give us your pitch, Palm Beach Pete for mayor. Give us your elevator pitch.
Okay. So my elevator pitch is, a lot of the talent in the financial industries are moving down to West Palm Beach because of the tax situation, the cost of living, the quality of life. And the same thing is going to happen in Palm Beach. Obviously, there's not a lot of commercial product in Palm Beach, but we can make quality of life better and make more people come and visit the island. So just making better life experiences for the residents of Palm Beach. That's my 1 minute pitch.
With free Botox.
Of course. You got to look good, feel good.
Palm Beach Pete, everybody. You can follow him, go to his website, voteforpalmbeachpete.com. His Instagram is real.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, you know, the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds. that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is gonna have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want and everybody around the world still needed the US dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository if you don't want to take delivery of it at home. We'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to keep talking about Mamdani and the socialist takeover, the threat of communism. I got to say, I don't understand the response. And it's a very common one. I feel like I had a term for this at one point, because I've talked about this before. And it's this thing where if you say something is going to happen, people say, well, you're crazy, that hasn't happened yet. You're like, no, but it's going to. And then it does happen. And then once it happens, you go, well, look what's happening. And people go, well, yeah, but now it's happening and that's just how it is now. So you just have to stay. And it's like, wait, what? There's this weird thing where it's like, oh, something hasn't happened yet. Then we don't need to worry about it. And once it is happening, then that's just the way it is. And you just have to accept that. I don't get it. I don't understand. Again, I mean, maybe we should have kept old Pete on for longer. But it just feels awkward to me. It's like, but this happens all the time where it's like Mamdani's like, we're going to seize the buildings. And then I'm like, they're going to seize the buildings. And then they're like, you're crazy. Why would you say that? You're blowing it out of proportion. It's like, no, they said they're going to seize the buildings. I believe them. They're definitely going to try. And if it doesn't work, then they're going to try again. And if it doesn't work that time, then they're going to try again. Eventually, they're going to sees the buildings, and it's going to be a feedback loop. And it's like, yeah, the wealthy landlords and builders are no longer investing in New York. A lot of them are moving to Florida. I mean, that's going to have a tangible, sizable impact on the character of New York from now on. But again, this happens all the time. I have it online where it's people being like, are you still schizo posting about red heifers? And it's like, I'm quoting Benjamin Netanyahu. What are you talking about? Benjamin Netanyahu is like, we're rebuilding the third temple and the Messiah is going to come. And I'm like, this sounds like an apocalyptic cult they're doing. People are like, you're crazy. Why are you so obsessed with this idea of rebuilding the third temple? It's like, what? I'm not. They're the ones saying it. It genuinely makes you feel crazy. Makes you feel crazy. It's like, you're blowing this out of proportion. Just like, I'm reading verbatim what the mayor said. What? I don't get it, personally. I don't understand. I don't understand that mindset. Because it's like the mindset that got us where we are now. What do I always say? To be a conspiracy theorist, you have to understand things don't just happen. Well, things do happen. And oftentimes, before they've happened, if you try to stop them, people tell you, you can't stop it, it hasn't happened. And it's like, but it's going to. It's going to happen. They're going to do it. They're saying they're going to do it. They're putting the places in peace to do it. They're funding the programs to do it. I think they're going to do it, y'all. I'm truly baffled by that mindset. And it is maybe the, like, it's like the ubiquitous mindset. I mean, that is probably the number one way I've been responded to when I talk about things that should concern everybody. I had the same thing on the debate I did with Destiny several years ago. I can't remember what the exact topic was, but it was like, oh, well, there were a couple things, but one of them certainly was me talking about the World Economic Forum and the Bilderberg meetings, being like, you know, billionaires get together in secret to plot their operation. You know that, right? And it's just like, it's undeniable. The sky is blue, right? It's a big group. They've got a website. And it was Destiny just being like, yeah, I don't believe you. It's just like, okay, what? What do you mean you don't believe me? What are you talking about? It's just like, yeah, I just don't believe you that's happening. And it's like, no, but it absolutely is happening. So now that that's established, what's your actual view here? But same thing, because Destiny does the same thing too, where you go, hey, they're trying to, whatever it is, they're trying to replace white people in this country. And they're like, but white people still exist in this country. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, who are you talking to? Because I'm trying to have a conversation about something that's actually happening, that they're talking about it happening, that they're planning for it to happen. I don't want it to happen. I'm going to try to defend against it. You seem not to want it to happen either, but you refuse to acknowledge that it is happening. Once it is happening, then you'll refuse to acknowledge that there was ever a possibility to stop it in the first place. I was like, well, this is just how it goes. I'm like, that just like threw me for a loop. I'm like so confused, or I'm still confused. I'm just in a state of confusion right now. Or it's just like, because this is how it always happens. It's like, hey, you know they're going to seize buildings. And they're like, stop blowing things out of proportion. That's not happening. And then like in a year from now, they're going to start seizing buildings. We're going to go see they're seizing buildings. People are going to go, yeah, they're seizing buildings, of course. Why wouldn't they? You're like, what? You know, the thing with the mask. I mean, it just time and time again. I don't know, man. Well, what do we do? What do we do when people just like won't acknowledge the massive changes that are being foisted on us as if they don't matter? Even though they recognize that they matter. I don't know, man. I'm just baffled by all of this. So let's talk about what's happening in New York and where it goes from here and how this is all part and parcel with the wider Great Reset New World Order operation to enslave us all. Is that thing, is it too much to understand? Like, is it, it's uncomfortable for you, so you'd rather not believe it? And then once it's happening, you can convince yourself that that's because all the correct processes would take. Like, that's he says they're not going to seize buildings. There would be a process. It's like, yeah, the process to seize the building. That's the process. What are we talking about? So New York City freezes rent for 1 million renters after Mamdani packs rent guidelines board. The rent guidelines board, with 6 of 9 members appointed by Mayor Zoran Mamdani, met on June 25th and decided there would be absolutely no rent increase for rent-stabilized apartments in New York City. Ahead of the vote, one landlord resigned from the board, only one member voted no, and the rent freeze passed 7-1. Mamdani hailed his board for passing the measure, fulfilling one of his many campaign promises, saying, "This is a historic victory for New York City tenants. After reviewing the data and hearing from New Yorkers across the city, our independent RGB has delivered a freeze on 1-year leases and the first ever freeze on 2-year leases in our city's history." Just like, again, you know, as if this wasn't something he ran on and promised to do. Now he's saying, "Oh, well, we studied it and we listened to New Yorkers across the city." It's just like, no, you didn't. You just wanted to do this, so you did it. But you want to dress it up as if it is the Democratic will, even though it isn't. Not necessarily. Certainly not from the people it impacts. Another one of the campaign promises was to seize private property from landlords who do not make mandated repairs or pay assessed fines on their property. Landlords argue that rising costs met with an inability to increase income will lead to fewer repairs and upkeep. This could lead to fines and assessments and eventually to private property seizure. Which is crazy, apparently. This will never happen. Okay. Rent Guidelines Board meets yearly to set rent increases for rent-stabilized apartments, which affects about 44% or 1 million out of 2.3 million apartments. This year, the board recommended 0% increases for both 1- and 2-year leases. In April, the board released a report showing that rent-stabilized housing insurance soared from 10.5% in 2006 year-over-year, which fuel and maintenance while fuel and maintenance rose 11% and 6% respectively, the New York Post reports. Landlord representative Christina Smith, who served on the board, resigned on Thursday ahead of the vote. She said in a letter that to her colleagues on the board that the board had stopped being a fact-finding body. She said this rebuilt board was required to deliver a rent freeze. Everything since then has been theater. And like, it's not even about this particular thing happening. It's about the method by which literal communists or their socialist collaborators manipulate the system to get what they want. They'll take over a body that has been impaneled ostensibly to do something that is unbiased and by the numbers, sort of a technocratic organization. They'll pack it with their people and they'll use it to impose ideological imperatives that are their own, their exclusive belief. Like, it doesn't matter how it impacts other people. They just want to do it. And it's not just, you know, you want rent control. Well, you got to go through all these processes to get it, or you can just pack the board with your people and they can just vote for it. And then you can act like you went through the proper procedure. Same thing they're going to do with the Supreme Court. You understand that? It's the exact same method they're going to use to destroy your political freedoms, your God-given rights. They're going to pack the Supreme Court so that they decide against your rights or against anything that is in opposition to their ideological bent, which is, by the way, communistic and destructive and evil. So we got to recognize these strategies and then work to prevent them. And we have to see what they're doing before they actually do it, because otherwise you can't stop them doing it. It's just going to happen. Let's go to this video from Mamdani where he's looking in the refrigerator. He's talking about rent freezing. And I just say, you know, I really sort of despise Mamdani's social media presence. I really, there's almost nothing more infuriating than just a hateful authoritarian psycho who puts on a big smile and does a song and dance on social media, acting like what he's doing isn't destroying everything that your ancestors built. Let's go to clip 25 here. Mayor Zoran Mamdani talking about freezing the rent. Let's watch.
New York, the Independent Rent Guidelines Board just froze the rent. That means if you're one of the more than 2 million New Yorkers who lives in a rent-stabilized apartment, your rent's going to be frozen next year.
Wow, amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, it's great. It's going to be amazing. Now, I believe the number, try to find it here, I believe 44% of rent-controlled apartments in New York City are occupied by people born somewhere other than the United States. So for all of the millions of hostile foreigners that live in Europe, live in New York, rather, this would be a really amazing thing for people that built the city. Not so much. Not so much. We can go now to clip number 20, because this is actually the bigger deal to me. I genuinely don't care that much about New York City. I mean, I do, because it's a great city, and I do love New York. It is extremely unique. It is America manifest. But in the same way that it represents everything about America, the good, it also represents the bad. It also sort of a bellwether of where our entire country's going. As we demographically replace the people that built this country, you get a bunch of people that don't care or understand or even give lip service to our founding principles. They don't seem to comprehend that those principles themselves are in fact indelibly intertwined with our success. That never seems to break through. That never seems to be acknowledged. That, like, all of these things that they're trying to destroy, it's that classic cartoon or whatever it is where it's this giant construct of civilization, all these various parts, and there's like one little brick that's keeping it all up. And the guy's like, well, we don't need this anymore, right? We can take this out. I mean, look how tall it is. We don't need this stuff at the bottom, right? It's like, no, America was built on the foundation of these principles. When you go after these principles, you are destroying everything that is great about America. You are going to render America into a third world hellhole. And it's already happening. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen with a single decision or a single mayoral race. Each one of these instances is another drop in the bucket. Eventually, it's going to overflow. Eventually, it's going to be too much to contain unless we felt like doing literally anything to stop it at this point now. But we're not. So it'll just keep going. It'll just continue forever. Because, again, there's no end. There's no point to which America will collapse to and all of the sudden everybody will wake up and fight to get our country back. Look at South Africa. Look at Rhodesia. It's now called Zimbabwe. We've seen this one before. We know how it goes, which makes our inability or unwillingness to alter the course that we're on so inexplicable, so baffling, so suspicious. The Rent Guideline Board ignored its own data and made a terrible decision tonight. Old rent-stabilized buildings are already struggling under rising operating costs. Yet the board chose to disregard those realities, said James Wellen, president of the Real Estate Board of New York. This decision means less investment in maintenance and repairs, accelerating the deterioration of housing stock that millions of New Yorkers call home. Tonight's vote may be politically popular, but it will make New York's housing crisis worse. Landlords of apartment buildings pay 12.5% in property taxes on a market value determined by the Department of Finance. There are three ways the department can assess the value: based on past sales, based on the cost of replacement, and based on income to expense ratio. For apartment buildings, the department uses the income and expense metric and assesses taxes on 45% of the estimated market value. Insurance costs typically run $300 to $600 per unit, meaning that a 72-unit building, the insurance cost per year could be around $42,000. Mamdani has proposed to address this by creating a city-backed insurance program and has released a request for expression of interest from insurance brokers, captive managers, insurance carriers, and reinsurers, third-party administrators, actual, and risk advisory firms and other entities capable of operating at this scale who want to take this on. So, like, do you see what's happening? Do you understand that they are systematically trying to take over every industry? Like, it's not going to stop here. And the problems that these industries have are not, you know, solved by government. They're caused by government in many cases. The classic example for Mamdani is the fact that there are so many regulations to having a business in New York that it basically makes it impossible for any regular small business to ever get started, let alone succeed. And so instead of removing some of those regulations, instead of trying to make it easier by limiting the amount of government interference in creating a business, they created a new office of the government to help instruct small business owners how to navigate the other offices of government. If there's a problem with the insurance companies, if they're overcharging, if, you know, they're manipulating the market, manipulating the system to unfairly profit from basically products that are required by law for landlords to have, then you can go in and affect change through law about the insurance company. They're not doing that. They want a city-backed insurance company. The city-backed insurance company is going to have a distinct advantage in that they do not need profit. They will constantly be puffed up by taxpayer dollars. Where do you think this ends? Where do you think this cycle burns itself out? Because it's never going to burn itself out, because this is the way communism actually works. They have this ideology. They have these theories. They have these ideas that are wrong, right? So, again, I think everybody knows this. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it succinctly. The most readily apparent example would be like the Holodomor, the mass starvation caused by communists in Ukraine and elsewhere in Eastern Europe. Why did that happen? That happened because the communists were convinced, they were sure, absolutely, that the kulaks, the farmers, were not as efficient as they could be because they weren't communists. They're capitalists. They must be evil. They must be exploiting everybody. Once communists take it over and communize the farms, then we'll actually have a much bigger crop to show for it. So they impose this. They do this. What happens? Is the crop bigger? Of course not. It's significantly worse because they kill the people that actually know how to farm. The people that were actually running the farms at a profit all get slaughtered. Communist commissars go in. They don't know how to farm. So instead of actually having more bountiful harvest, you have less bountiful harvest. How do you think that's treated at the communist headquarters? Do you think they like hearing that they're, that the plan, the theories, the theology undergirding their entire governmental system is abjectly wrong, is just as wrong as it could possibly be? Of course not. So what do? They cover up their failure. They take all of the harvest from everywhere else and add it to the count so they can point to it and go, see, we collectivized the farms and now there's more food than there was before. But they stole it from people that needed it, and then 10 million of people starve. Literally the same thing happened in China. But it was even more ridiculous and outrageous and easily foreseen by anybody that cared to pay attention. So we're going to go into this same process. They're not going to be liquidating the kulaks of New York. They're not going to be collectivizing the farms of New York City, obviously, but the same mentality, the same mindset is there. So they'll, you know, they are convinced that these landlords are just living large off the abuse of their tenants. They're going to take over the buildings, going, we're going to be able to run this so much better. And they're going to succeed. They're going to succeed because no matter how poorly they run the building, the communists in government are going to fill the coffers with money they pilfer elsewhere. They're going to take funds that were meant for something else. They're going to reallocate it to the building insurance city-run operation so it looks like it's succeeding, because that's all that matters to the communists, because to communists, the system is everything. Upholding the system is the only point of their system. So you have to succeed. Even if you don't, you have to make it look like you do, which is a perfect recipe for a downward spiral into chaos and misery. And we have now entered into that spiral. We can interrupt it literally any point. Same thing with the city-owned grocery stores that they want to start running. Are they going to succeed? Of course not. They're going to lose massive amounts of money. But somebody's going to make money. somebody's going to be raking it in. Somebody's going to be managing the new government program they've built, have a $500,000 salary paid for by the taxpayers so they can manage a store that has no incentive to actually be profitable whatsoever. Again, just insane. It just is crazy that we're allowing ourselves to get here. Let's go, if we have time here, to Trump talking about communism. Let's go to clip 33 first. Here's Trump clowning on Democrats for electing communists. Let's watch.
And as you saw with the communists elected in New York City recently, they're communists, they're not social Democrats. They want to completely destroy the traditional American way of life. Communism is very easy to sell. It destroys everything, but it's very easy. I'll be honest, I think I'd be the greatest communist in history. I'd give free rent. Ladies and gentlemen, from now on, you don't have to pay any rent. From now on, anybody wants a house, don't worry about it. Just pick the house you want. Everybody gets free food. Everything is free from this point forward. Everyone's going to vote for me. The problem is, after 2 or 3 years, the country is a disaster area. The country fails. They always do. It always does. So easy to sell. That first year, boy, you're the most popular. It's happening right now in New York and California. But you'll start living in squalor. You'll live in squalor. There will be no food. There will be no housing. There will be no military. There will be no law and order. There will be no nothing. There will be no nothing. You'll be a third world inhabitant in every way, and everyone will suffer or die. You'll suffer or die. That's what happens. For thousands of years, it's been happening by different names. Thousands of years. I'm telling you, I'd be the greatest communist in history. It would be so easy. You wouldn't have to work. You could stay home. The problem is a couple of years go by, the whole place collapses. Always does. Always has.
He's right, of course. He's exactly right. Thing is, that is deeply unconvincing to anybody that might actually vote for socialists. I'm trying to figure out how to handle this, because I appreciate Trump recognizing this threat, but this threat has grown and developed under his watch, and this is not a convincing tack to take. I'll tell you that right now.
Hi folks, Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the alexjonesstore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.